This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go. We do a podcast. Boy, it was late. We usually do a podcast like 10 minutes prior to this, but my update at 10 was very long and the show ended late, but here we go.
Why was your update at 10 very long?
Well, there's a lot of notes, and also we had a nice U.S. Open report, which took a while because there's a lot going on out there, and so here we are. We're actually recording this after 10:10, which is late for us.
With Anne Liguori, you had an update.
We did.
What's the story, Anne Liguori?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, she calls me sometimes. Like, she called me today in the middle of the show asking me to do something to the line she's on. I'm like, I'm in the middle of a show here.
Yes.
A very important program, Jerry.
We were eating bread
on the air. It was very important. I don't know if she knew what was going on exactly.
Oh, man, I hear you.
So you guys tried a lot of various breads today on the show.
We did.
Rolls. Rolls are breads.
Italian breads.
There
was one roll, yes. But I think three Italian breads for sure. Then there was two baguettes.
They all seem the same to me. Like, whenever I get a sandwich, as long as it's not on cheapo bread,
as long as
they put some effort into the bread, I think it makes a difference.
It does make a difference. And I think six out of the nine we tasted, all good. One was too cakey. You cannot have a sandwich on that. Another one was too thin. But they were all good. I mean, you know, I don't want to say they tasted the same, but they were close.
You ever go to a place, like, whether it be a diner or a restaurant where you would sit down, but it's not fancy by any means?
Sure.
It's like diner quality. And you order a burger and it comes on one of those rolls that you get in the store, like an 8-pack. I'm like, I feel ripped off for that. I don't know why.
You feel like you got the Stop and Shop brand buns.
Yes. I feel like you just went to the supermarket before your store opened today.
Yeah.
Like, give me a restaurant quality bun.
I always talk about Dearborn Farms and Homedale.
Yeah.
Their subs are on it's from Hudson Bakery. I think that's where they get their bread from.
I see those bread trucks all over. I see the bread trucks in the city.
Is that true? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Very popular. I'm almost certain that's where they get their bread from. And number one, their bagels are the best I've ever had. I think they're awesome. And two, their sandwiches are, to me, the best around because of the bread they use.
Right.
Like, there, I'm sure you've had this too, where you get a sandwich from a pizza place, that's cheap bread. It's
cheap
terrible.
Bread.
Then you go to like a real deli and you get like real bakery bread. It makes the sandwich.
You're right. That's so true. Because you could get a great, what otherwise would be a great sandwich at like a pizza place. They do like a nice grilled chicken with mozzarella, with roasted peppers.
And you put it on crappy bread.
Yeah.
Takes away from it.
Yeah. Why would you not step your game? I guess more better bread is more expensive, less money you're making per sandwich.
Well, but
it can
true.
Make a difference.
True, but I'll tell you what, though.
Maybe
I've stopped buying sandwiches at those places. And I'll only go to, there's a couple in particular I'll go to for, you know, if we're going to get subs or something.
Where you know they have quality breads.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like I don't care. Subway's fine. I like Subway, but their bread to me is not nearly as good as Blimpie. Not that I'm buying sandwiches often, but
you
it's
don't
just
see
different.
Blimpies every, but there's a lot more Subways around than Blimpies.
That is very true. Although I feel like Subway's taking a hit. It's not as popular as it was.
Right, because I think Jersey Mike's took over a lot of them.
That's fair.
There are certain places that there are, no matter how many stores or franchises go up, they're still crowded. Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere. Packed.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Packed.
Packed. There's Jersey Mike's now everywhere. Packed.
I went in last Saturday. My sister-in-law came down to watch one of my boys play. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. And his game was at 10 o'clock. We were done at 1. Went home and I said, let's get sandwiches because I didn't know anybody was coming over, so we weren't ready. And I ordered from Jersey Mike's. I ordered at 1:40. Not at noon, prime lunch hour. 1:40 I ordered. I went there. There's like 9 people online.
Yeah.
Like
I order on the app now.
It's great.
And you just pick it up when you walk in.
Yep.
I love any place that has an app where you order on the app.
Makes it easy.
Oh, my gosh.
Does make
so
it easy.
So great. You pay on the app. You check off which ingredients you want on the app.
You can tip on the app.
You could tip on the app. The whole, I love any experience involving an app.
I agree. Makes it very easy. Real quick,
yes.
On the bread thing.
Yeah, bread.
Because G said something that I have been battling for probably the last 4 or 5 years as I do try to eat. And I have for the last 9, 10 years. I've eaten much better than I ever have, but still not great. The whole carb thing is a major problem. And he was talking about it, you know, and I'm the same way. Like, you could put candy in front of me, I'm good. You could put cookies and cake, I'm fine. I mean, I'll probably have a little bit, but I don't. Well, I have friends that will, like, go to town.
I love cookies.
When they see chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah,
or,
me too. That's me.
I could have one and I'm good. But you give me good Italian bread, beer. Even I love cereal. Like, all the things I really, pizza made on bread. Everything I really like involves bread.
Right, like nothing better than a Friday night getting a pizza with
and a beer.
Oh.
But that's brutal, Al. And I do it too. That's like the worst meal you can have.
Yeah. It's a big carb count, Jerry.
Oh my God.
You're counting carbs.
And it's hard to quit that.
Because they're delicious.
I like it.
And your body craves it.
I've always told you, I'll do any diet, but I am not giving up the Friday night pizza and the Sunday morning bagel. Like if I can't have those two things in the course of a week, what's the point?
I thought you were going to say Sunday morning beer, which was going to be odd.
No, not until 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Then you'll have a beer.
I would, yes. Especially if we have an 11 a.m. baseball game. I get home, out on the deck, 2 o'clock. Good.
I normally don't have any beers during the week.
Me neither.
But I will have a beer if I'm grilling on the actual grill.
Yeah, me too. I like that.
So like
I don't
last
know why.
Night, I made the porterhouse steak that Citarella sent us. Had a beer while I grilled it.
There's something about it. I don't know why. You're outside. It's sunny. It's the summer.
It makes it right. It makes it feel like a summer weekend.
I agree.
Even though it was just a Wednesday night for me.
I have started on Sunday nights because, you know, that's my terrible night to sleep.
Yes.
I have started 6 o'clock on. I don't drink anything all day. I really don't. Unless I have the 2 o'clock beer, maybe. But I don't usually do that. If I have had nothing to drink all day on a Sunday, 6 p.m., probably at 6:30. Two gigantic margaritas with Casamigos in it. This way I go to bed, out.
That's a good idea.
It works.
Because like beer puts me to sleep.
Yeah, it works.
Have a nice beer in.
Pretty much. And my last 4 Sundays have been, I decided to try that about a month ago. It's gone quite well.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's probably not how you want to use alcohol. It's probably not a great.
Well, why not? People take supplements all the time. I'm not doing it to get drunk. I'm doing it to help me fall asleep.
Right. As long as you don't have to do it every night to fall asleep.
No, it gets me back on track because Sunday night's a mess after Friday and Saturday.
I think that's fine then.
All right.
You know the actress Salma Hayek, Jerry?
Who doesn't?
She's 54 years old, by the way.
She looks great in this new movie coming out.
She looks terrific. Anyway, she has a pet owl.
Okay.
Which is very strange. And she's photographed sometimes with the pet owl hanging out on her head.
Oh, all right.
She said that one time Harry Styles, the singer, was over her house because he likes her owl. And the
Sure he likes her owl.
And the owl coughed up a rat hairball on him. I guess these owls eat rats.
How gross.
Yeah. Ate a rat and coughed up a rat hairball.
Okay.
An owl does not feel like a fun, cuddly pet.
No, not at all.
Right?
It's of course.
Even like, I know birds in general aren't cuddly pets, but if you have a bird that says funny things, sings and whistles, but an owl doesn't do anything. All I picture an owl doing is wanting to attack a small rodent for food.
It seems very boring.
It's boring.
Like it just sits there and goes,
I don't even know if they really actually
Is that not true?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Or they do it at a certain, if the owls don't who.
Could you imagine you decide to go adopt a pet owl and it just sits there all day and does nothing?
And you go back and you go, this owl doesn't who. They go, yeah, they don't really do that.
Could I return the owl?
Yeah, I don't know why you would get an owl.
You wouldn't.
African but here's gray, the problem. Yes, I would.
Actors and actresses, especially of her standing,
right,
have so much freaking money, they don't know what to do with it.
Right. And they hear one thing about somebody who had an owl. It was fun. Let's get an owl.
And if it doesn't work out, they'll hire someone to take right. care of the owl. It's,
right. Make this owl disappear into the woods.
I mean, seriously. Well, no, I didn't mean that. Take care of it that way. I meant hire an owl sitter.
Just to come in and watch the owl.
Yes.
Did you ever want an exotic pet?
Never.
A monkey?
Never.
I did.
Why didn't you get one?
Because I don't think you're allowed to have monkeys as pets.
Monkey. Ross did.
Yeah, Ross did on a rhesus monkey, I think he had, or something. Or
Mackay. I don't know. Is that true? You're not allowed to have a pet monkey? I don't mean a chimpanzee. I mean a small pet monkey.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't think you are allowed to have monkeys.
Okay. But you can have reptiles.
And an owl,
evidently. Because that makes sense. And you can have snakes.
Yeah, and snakes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I have no idea. I never really want. When we bought this house we're in, I can't believe it's 4 years ago now, but when we were looking at it, we walked into the house, and you've been to my house now. You know that room that's down the steps where the fireplace is?
I call that the living room.
That's fine. They had a gate up, and there were two medium to large size dogs. That's fine. We grew up with dogs, so it didn't bother us at all. I'm like, well, okay, they got dogs. Fine. Then we go around to the front room. We'll call that the living room, the family room.
Family room.
And the door was shut, and they had two little rat dogs. I'm like, how does that work? I mean, like, literally, two, like, not Yorkies, but like a little bit bigger than that. We go upstairs. One room was the exotic pet room. They had lizards. I'm trying to think what else they had. They had lizards. There was one snake, and there was a bunny.
All in the same
home.
What
the hell is going on in this house?
Wow, those are some animal lovers.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot going on. Hmm. We did not continue that trend.
You did not. We got rid of the...
We just brought our two cats.
And then you said you guys had adopted an owl or something.
Did not adopt an owl. No.
Now, here's an interesting story, Jerry, and I don't know that I believe this, but it is, it's from a good source. USA Today. That seems like
I would say that's a good source.
Very reliable source. USA Today says that the average age of a car that is on the road in the United States.
Can I guess this?
Yeah. So this is, of course, you're going to see new cars. Of course, you're going to see very old cars. What is the average age of a car on the road in the United States?
11 years old.
12.1 years.
Okay. I do believe that.
That's unbelievable to me. I feel like I see so many new cars.
You do, but there's also, I mean, think about 11 years ago. It's a 2010 model.
Yeah.
It's not. It's funny because when we were starting to drive, so for me, it was 1991. And I remember my dad telling me when I started to look for cars, nothing past 1986 because they're not going to trust it. That's 5 years after the warranty's just up, so it might still be in good shape for a first car. So I ended up with a 1988 Chevy Camaro, which was a great car. Now, I would have no issue buying a 2010 car.
Right.
Because they're just made so much better. So that actually doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was really caught off guard. I was like, okay, 12 years old. It is 2021 now. So what year would that make these cars?
Yeah.
You figured it out immediately, 2010.
Just because.
That ballpark.
Like my son bought a car. He starts driving for real in October. He's got his permit. So we helped him get a car. It's a nice car. It's a Chevy. It's a 2012. It's only got 71,000 miles on it. And it's in really good shape.
There was a time like when if you hit 100,000 miles with your car.
Car was dead.
Right. So everything was going to go wrong with
it.
Yeah. I remember at times in like the early 2000s or the late 90s where the idea was in our heads that like at 75,000 start thinking
you
got to
move on. For sure.
That does seem crazy.
I will tell you this, and you know I've had a lot of cars, but I've had...
You're a big car guy.
I've had a handful of cars for a long time, and for me a long time is 5 or 6 years. I know I had a Toyota that I put 230,000 miles on. I bought brand new. I drove that for, I think, 7... That's the longest car I ever had, I think, 7 years. I put 230 on that one. No, I had a little red Toyota back in when I was working sports phone with Don LaGreca. So we're talking 1999. is when it died, probably around 2000-ish or so. But I probably bought that. That might have been my second or third car. I forget. I bought it in 94, I think, maybe 95. That died around 2001. But 230 I put on it. I then bought a Ford Escort that I had for 5 years. The little black Ford Escort, but it was a Z something. It was like a sporty one that I put 210 on. I killed that one. And even the Prius that I just got rid of, I had for 5 years. I bought with 60,000 miles on it. And I got rid of it at 245, I think. And I probably didn't have to get rid of it, but I wanted the pickup truck, and, well, that didn't work out so well.
Back when I was first starting to drive and stuff, people would always say, get a Toyota or a Honda.
Toyota. I think Toyota is – I love Ford. I love Chevy, and I think Toyota is the best-made car.
I still think – I think a lot of cars are pretty even now.
Maybe.
Like, I think there used to be, like, the Hondas were the only one – the Honda and Toyota would go – you know, a couple hundred thousand miles, and you'd be like very impressed.
I think they all go that far now.
Yeah, they all
now.
Go pretty decent now.
The thing for me in all my car experience is nothing has gone wrong with the Toyotas. Like nothing major, nothing was falling off. Like I had the Chevy I had back in mid 2000s or so. It was a good car, but as I got to that 100,000 mile, while the engine was still good, things would start falling off. You could tell it was worn and used. The Toyotas I've had, I swear to God, still drove like brand new. Just really good cars.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. They all go for a very long time now.
And that's Al and Jerry's car talk. Just a couple of car guys.
What would be your favorite car brand? Because for me, I think I named the three. Toyota, Ford, Chevy. Those three I absolutely love. After that... I love this VW I'm driving now.
Well, I would love a Porsche.
You never had one.
Yeah, I never had one.
I don't...
This wasn't my dream car, Jerry. You're saying, what of the cars you've had?
Yeah, I don't mean dream car. I'm saying, what do you think out of all the cars you've had, is there, like, what do you think have been the best running cars that you've experienced?
All right, Jerry, fair enough. I would say I did have a Honda Civic,
mm-hmm.
which did very well. I would say that Nissan I had for a long time, well, I didn't like in the beginning.
Altima.
Yeah, nothing ever went wrong.
It was a good car.
It was a good car. And then, probably that teal Saturn I had.
I don't think that makes sense. What about your pickup truck?
I don't know. It didn't even have air conditioning, that pickup truck.
I know how that goes.
But it was cool to have a pickup truck when you're a kid.
It is neat.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, let's do something else that's neat. The warm-up show.
Okay.
Oh, and tomorrow's Friday. And you're hosting tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Boomer's out tomorrow. Oh, cool.
Did I just break that news to you?
No, I forgot.
You remembered, but...
My calendar would have told me.
Right, your calendar. When would have told you that?
8 p.m. tonight.
It would flash. You'd be like, damn it.
I usually get an alert the day before if I have something on the next day.
Oh, okay. You'd be sitting there not watching any games going, oh, damn.
Well, the beauty is I actually do watch them,
so I'd
be okay.
Sports. Oh, yeah. And so that's a good Friday morning for you and Gio. You're going to have the Nets, Islanders, Mets, Yankees.
I will. He's going to have to cover the Islanders because I will watch the Mets and the Nets, right. And I will definitely check out the Islanders and Yankees.
All right, good. Well, let's do that tomorrow then, Jerry.
Sounds good to
me. Let's all get a good night's rest, and we'll meet back here tomorrow morning, Jerry, you and I at 5 a.m.
So!
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry.
Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
And we're not going to yell at you, I promise. It's 5:02. We're not going to take any calls. Warm-up show brought to you by Kearney Bank, your bank for today, for tomorrow. Visit kearneybank.com for details, along with the Eddie Scazzeri. I am looking at Al Gary Dukes. What up, dude?
Good morning, Jerry. Yeah, Sal should consider not taking calls anymore, because I think it's getting to him.
What makes it fun?
Oh, my gosh. If he could crawl through the phone and punch the callers in the face, I think he would do it.
But I'll tell you this. His last hour was as lively as any 4 a.m. radio show you will find.
That is true. I do love when the overnight hosts begin to resent the callers.
Doesn't take long.
It doesn't take long.
You love the callers, but you do resent them at times.
I heard it, Moose, on my Monday mornings driving in, the Sunday night into Monday morning Moose overnights that he used to do. But Moose wouldn't scream and yell at the callers. Sal can't take it anymore.
Correct. And Sal is not afraid to tell you that.
It's going to get ugly.
At some point, it will.
At some point, he's just going to...
He was close this morning.
He's just going to reach a breaking point, Jerry.
I think at 4:30, I realized, my God, 5 o'clock can't come fast enough for him.
He's probably just glancing at the clock. It's moving slowly.
I love his passion, though.
It's funny, everybody thought that, because Eddie came in, he goes, Sal is just waiting for that back time music to start.
Hit it, Eddie.
To know when he's done.
That's funny. It's fun.
Jerry.
Yes, sir.
What's the deal? I mean, this
hold
Jacob.
On. Did you make the bet or not?
I didn't make the bet, no.
Why?
Because I think it's a bad precedent to start betting baseball.
But I gave you the bet.
I know.
You said you wanted to bet Cole DeGrom, Mets, Yankees. You wanted the third team. I gave you the third team.
You gave me
the Phillies.
And how'd that work out?
They beat the Dodgers 2-0.
Come on, Jerry.
And I said because Zach Wheeler was pitching.
Right. You did say that. But listen, I can't. I just can't.
You couldn't bring yourself to bet $5 to win 15?
Well, it wasn't that. I got to go through the whole putting the money back into the app. Like, I'm a football-only betting guy.
I did ask.
But at the end of the football season, I shut it down.
All right. Fair enough. I understand.
So to fire the apps back up, put the money back in, and then start betting random baseball games in June.
You asked.
It's not a great precedent.
But see, that's how I do it. I do it randomly.
Yeah.
I don't do it every day. It's when I like a bet, or I like a game, or I like a starting pitcher. That's why I don't do my BetMGM sure thing every day. It's got to be the right day.
You've got to feel it.
Yes.
Because once you start scheduling it, Jerry, it becomes then you're not feeling
correct.
It.
Correct. And I gave you the feel yesterday, and you did nothing with it. All right.
Well, I had the initial feel, which is the two obvious ones, the Cole and DeGrom. Although, did DeGrom get the win? He only pitched 3 innings.
No, you can't.
Yeah, exactly. So I would have lost that.
No, you would have won.
Oh, because I was betting just the Mets to win.
Yankees, and unless you were going to go DeGrom to get the win, that's a different prop bet.
Right,
but
we were
just talking a 3-game parlay.
You're right. Do you think this DeGrom situation, Jerry, so he only pitched 3 innings last night.
It's concerning.
He struck out 8 of the 9 hitters he faced.
Right, 3 perfect innings.
Which is solid, perfect. But he comes out for, what was this now, shoulder.
Soreness.
Do you think it's, and I looked this up to make sure I was using the proper word, Jerry, psychosomatic?
I don't know. I really don't know. You think he's just making things up?
No, I don't think he's making things up. I think we are in an era where everybody's hurt at all times, that if you're not, you talk yourself into being hurt.
Maybe. I'll tell you the thing with the elbow, if you feel anything, it doesn't surprise me you go to the trainer. In this case, like he says his arm hurt him.
But how?
I don't know.
He struck out 8 out of 9 batters he faced.
And his last pitch was 99 miles an hour.
So stop.
I don't know. I do not know.
Man up. Get out there.
You know he wants to be out there.
No,
you
he doesn't.
Know, yes, he
I
does.
Don't.
Yes, he does.
I don't believe that.
Yes, he does.
We all love to say that. Don't believe it.
Okay. So, Al, you do not believe Jacob DeGrom wants to compete?
No.
Wow.
Not if you come out 3 innings in after you struck out 8 in line. I don't believe so. Or he's got a mental issue where he's psychosomatic giving
himself
injuries.
Or he's going to go get an MRI today and find out that he's got some crap in his arm.
But he's already had an MRI. And there was nothing there.
He's having imaging done today.
Imaging?
Yeah.
This is just
look
so
at the shoulder.
Stupid.
It's what it is. I mean, he did have tendonitis. It's not like they didn't come up with anything.
Surprised he doesn't get hurt walking to the ballpark.
Give him time.
From the parking lot.
Maybe he will. You never know.
You remember when the Oakland A's did that Moneyball thing where they went completely against what was going on in baseball and they decided to pick guys?
They still do.
They still do it?
Yeah, they don't spend big money on anybody. And they're one of the best teams in baseball right now.
Right. So, you know, all my love of sports ended in the 1980s, Jerry. Yes. I love 1980s sports. What if a team decided to go 1980s sports? Guys don't exercise really. Guys don't really eat all that great. But we do also don't get hurt constantly.
That would be good. I would like that.
Like, maybe that's the problem. Everyone's worried about every little thing they put in their body, every little movement of their stupid exercise, and then they get hurt doing nothing.
I think
guys
exercise. I think not exercise. I think they work out way too much.
Yeah.
I do. Now, I'm not saying I want them fat and slow and sloppy. That's not.
I do.
But you also don't need them to look like, I mean, the way Stanton looks. I don't think it does you any. I really don't think it does you any good.
But Jacob DeGrom's not one of those muscular guys.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to DeGrom. I don't know.
Sick of it.
There are certain guys that are prone to injury. I don't know why. And then there are other guys that can pitch, like Jamie Moyer pitched until he was 73 years old.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't know. It's frustrating. It really is because he's so good. His ERA fell to 0.54.
Do we have a psychologist on the baseball
teams? I bet you they
teams,
do.
The Mets?
I would almost guarantee you they do.
Let's talk to that man or woman.
Now, if he's talking to them, I don't know.
Because he's talking himself into being hurt. Oh, my. Of course, if you throw one pitch 100 miles an hour, of course you're going to feel something in your arm. Doesn't mean you're hurt.
And how many times have you thrown a pitch 100 miles an hour?
One time I threw a Seaside Heights boardwalk to try to see how fast I could throw. My arm hurt for 3 days.
Yeah, well, you're also not conditioned to throw. What's amazing, and I only say this because of the one game I sat in that first row with G last year, or 2 years ago, rather, is how free and easy these guys throw the ball. Like, there are certain guys you can tell they are, it's a very physical, it's very, what's the right word? Like, it looks like it's work to throw
labor.
The ball. Yeah.
It's labor.
Then there are other guys that just, I don't know. Like, when DeGrom throws the ball, I don't feel like he's throwing his arm out at all. It just, it comes out of his hand very smoothly. There are a lot of pitchers like that. Clayton Kershaw, he's got that weird, why, and that, oh, by the way, Sean Reed Foley, dude, enough with the stupid stretch and windup. Did you see any of this last night?
Sean Reed Foley is a pitcher?
So that's a no. You didn't see any of this.
I did
this
not
last
see
night.
This. What does he do?
So he gets.
He's got a cool delivery. Sounds like he's got a cool delivery.
No, it is absurd. And it's fine when you do well, but the minute he stinks, get him out. So he crouches all the way down like this, and he looks over at the runner at first base. Then he looks at home plate. Then he comes up, gets himself set, goes back up and down, and then delivers. It's like, oh, my God, just pitch. Stop.
I like that. I like that. I like when a pitcher has an odd delivery.
Who was the guy, Eddie, you'd remember? I'm not even asking you. Eddie, you remember.
I remember.
The closer with the Nash, was it Kimbrel that had that ridiculous, I don't think he does it anymore, where he had like the hawk look, and they were making fun of him behind home plate when he's in road stadiums. This is very similar to it. It's almost worse.
It's not intimidating to
you?
And
he's got a horrible mustache. Oh, my God.
So if you were a hitter, this would be intimidating
or not?
I'd
be laughing at
him. You would be.
Like, what are we doing? Oh, it's awful. Just, you got to, during the break, you got to take a look at this guy.
All right.
It's just, ugh.
I like, that sounds terrific. I
no,
like that kind
not,
of delivery.
It's, it looks like he's on Broadway.
On Broadway.
I don't know what he's doing. Really goofy. But they won.
The Mets did win, Jerry, and DeGrom even had an RBI single. I don't know how he was able to do it with such a strenuous injury.
The guy is tremendous. He really is.
And then Kevin Pillar had a home run. That guy almost had his face broken.
Dominic Smith.
Dom Smith.
Drove a ball into the, is it the Coca-Cola corner or the Pepsi porch?
Who knows?
Wherever. That's where the ball went. Drilled it. Gone.
I think it's the RC Cola corner.
I don't think it's RC Cola.
It's the CNC
Cola. Is RC
Cola.
Cola still around?
Oh, yeah.
Is it really?
Oh, they're flourishing.
They're flourishing. I haven't seen an RC Cola in 10 years, maybe
when was,
longer.
When I was a kid, we drank CNC Cola.
I don't know if
that
one.
Was like a ShopRite brand or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know that
we drank
one.
Drank
CNC Cola.
Yep.
I'm out on that one.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. The Mets won. They're playing well. And they're 20-6 at home, and they're 10 games over .500.
I'm going to pitch an idea to the Mets. No more exercising or eating right. Eat what you want. Just get to the ballpark. take a couple swings, take a couple, because working out and eating right is not working as far as injuries are concerned.
It doesn't seem like it.
No.
There are more and more injuries every single year.
So annoying.
Yeah, it's, I agree.
It is getting super annoying to watch.
Getting? We've been there. Especially with the pitchers.
It's just so stupid.
Like, you look back when we were kids and beyond that, and you would see a guy would make 35 starts routinely every year. Now, if you get, no joke, you get 25 starts out of a guy, you're like, he had a good season.
So you're telling me the Oakland A's still do this money ball situation?
The A's don't spend any money.
I'm going to root for them.
Why don't you root for the Rays?
I don't know.
Well, you're from Tampa. You live there. Like, that is there, your... Jared. That is your wheelhouse.
Right. I did cover the Rays in their very first season, 1998. Right.
I don't know why you wouldn't root for them. Let's see. The Oakland A's payroll. Let's take guesses here, okay? So we know, like, the Dodgers are at two. I think the Dodgers are around $235 million.
All right.
I believe the Yankees are right around the luxury tax number. So I'm going to say the Oakland A's are at 90. Nah, I'm going to say $110 million.
All right.
You're going to take the over or the under?
I'm going to take the under on that, Jerry.
Wow, way under. $86 million.
For their entire team, you're saying?
For their entire team this year, yes.
And they're good, right?
They're very good. They're one of the best teams in baseball right now.
And the Rays are pretty good. Pretty good,
Jerry. Rays are one of the best teams in baseball.
What
so here
is their
you go.
Payroll?
The Rays payroll, I'm going to say if the A's are $86 million, I'm going to say the Rays are $80
million. So you think under $100 million as well?
I'm gonna the start Tampa for Rays, teams. Oh, my God. The Tampa Rays are at $62 million.
62. All right. That's payroll. Who I'm rooting for. No more Mets. No more Yankees. I'm rooting for teams that don't spend money, because when you spend money on guys, doesn't matter. They barely play. Everybody's hurt at all times.
The
Can't
Rays.
Even enjoy a Jacob DeGrom very small ERA because these. Oh, my. Now my elbow hurts. Now my shoulder hurts. Now I think my thigh hurts. I slept funny on my. Pillow.
That was Miguel Cash. That was Miguel Cash. That's your guy. God. That was him. The Rays are the second best team in baseball, 43-26.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
The White Sox right now, the White Sox and the Giants, I think. Let's see. Yeah, the White Sox and the Giants both have the same record. They have the best record in baseball. Those two are tied. And then after that, Tampa and then Oakland.
Perfect.
So you got, I'll bet you, not for nothing, I'll bet you the Giants payroll is low. That's why it's comical to me. When fans are always like, we got to spend money, we got to spend
yes.
money. No, you don't always have to spend money. You got to have the right group of guys. You got to have the proper pitching. The San Francisco Giants payroll for this year is, what do you think? Give me a number.
105.
It's not coming up. I'll tell you what I'll do.
Nailed it.
I'll tell you what I'll do. It's going to be more than that because you got some guys on here that actually make some money.
Oh, so they are spending money.
Yeah, I'm just glancing at it quickly, 40. I would say they're going to be at about 110,
all right.
Which is still low.
Yes.
That's still not, but that's not $62 million or $80 million. So, very interesting. I mean, listen, you spent a lot of money on your condo, and you love it.
That's true, Jerry, and it was, but here's the thing. With the condo that I bought last year, already worth more than I bought it for. So, stop paying rent and build equity with Kearny Bank. You deserve to make money on your investment. Kearny was my bank of choice and made my entire mortgage process easy. You want to go with someone you can trust and actually get on the phone when you have questions. I trust them and you can too. Visit kearnybank.com/mortgages. That's kearnybank.com/mortgages. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. And Jerry, you should know this as well. The warm-up show has a pair of Yankee tickets to give away.
Nice. Look at that.
Coming up this hour.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, so we're just getting started. We've got a whole bunch. We've got Yankee tickets coming up, and we've got Boomer and Geo coming up. So I wouldn't go anywhere on the Fan.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Al and Jerry, longtime tag team champions.
All right, looking forward to seeing these guys in concert again. It is 5:23. Real quick before we move on, Just to wrap this up, because this blows me away when we talk about payroll and spending money and idiots that think you got to spend a fortune to win. Sure, it does win sometimes. The Dodgers won last year for finally after years and years of not winning. They are the most at $250 million. I said $235, $250. The Cleveland Indians, this is amazing to me, and then we'll move on. The Cleveland Indians are 8 or 9 games over 500. I got to find it. They're 9 games over 500. They are second place right now in the AL Central and in position to make the playoffs. They are 30th in payroll. Their team payroll is $52 million. Think about that.
That's a Chernoff in charge of that, payroll, Jerry.
That is true.
Ba-boom!
Now, there's no doubt there are bad teams like the Pirates and Orioles way down, but you got the Indians are in second place, the Rays are in first place at $68 million, and the A's are in first place with $86 million, all in the bottom 5 or 6 in payroll.
Yeah, these are the teams I'm rooting for now.
I get it. You know what? I understand.
I'm a Cleveland Indians fan. I'm a Tampa Rays fan. And I'm an Oakland A's fan. Maybe you've heard, Jerry. I'm going to start wearing all their T-shirts.
Even the White Sox, who have the best record in baseball, are at 130 compared to the Dodgers at 250.
Yeah, you would think like eventually other teams would start figuring this out, but maybe there's pressure from the fan bases.
There
like
is.
Here in particular.
Of course there is.
For the Mets. Like if the Mets didn't sign Francisco Lindor or somebody, people would be furious.
They would be. Could you imagine the Yankees throwing out a roster that's got an $86 million payroll?
I don't see that happening.
No, of course not. It's almost like, I agree with you, it's almost like we're in the big city and
yes.
They're pressured to go make big signings. When over and over and over again, there are examples of it's not about the money. It's about finding the right guys and the right mix.
People always say, Jerry, money can't buy happiness.
Or love.
Or championships.
It can buy sex in certain countries.
It can, even in America. Yeah.
Yes, not legally. Well, I guess
Nevada. Legally, right.
Nevada,
correct.
Yes.
Good point, Jerry.
Yeah, that's
Nevada,
true.
The legal brothels.
Right.
Gerrit Cole pitched pretty well last night, Jerry.
Very well.
Yeah, very well. 8 innings, gave up only 4 hits, 2 runs. Only 4 strikeouts, though, in 8 innings, which is a little strange to me. But after the game, I guess he said he had a really hard time gripping the baseball.
Well, you're going to hear this from every pitcher now. That, to me, doesn't surprise me. Every pitcher is going to say, oh, I can't grip the ball.
He said, especially when it was windy. I don't know what that has anything to do with.
Al, I have no idea. I don't. I really don't.
The way when, I'm asleep when these games are going on, and I get up and I watch the condensed games?
Yes.
But I first saw the headlines for the news articles about the games, and then I go and watch the video. And one of the news headlines was Gerrit Cole complaining that he couldn't grip the baseball. So I was like, oh, man, he must have got shelled tonight or just was all over the place.
No, he's fine.
No.
He's better than fine.
8 innings of 4-hit ball?
Yeah.
I thought you'd think he had a pretty good grip on the ball.
I would say he pitched quite well.
Yeah.
Anytime you get a pitcher in this day and age, going back to our conversation from before the break, that's going to go 8 innings and give up 2 runs, yeah, I would say he did well.
Right.
I mean, let's
no
stop.
No problem gripping the ball.
I think he only walked 1 guy.
Yeah.
I mean, what else do you want from the guy?
What do you want from me, Gerrit Cole?
Yeah, I don't know, man. He's, you heard it from Glass now. You heard it from him. You're going to hear it from all pitchers now across baseball.
So even if they pitch well, they're going to complain they can't grip the ball just because they want to get the sticky stuff.
I think.
In the game.
This will go back to what Jerry Blevins said yesterday, who I was trying to bring up, and then Boomer yelled at me because he did a sports minute on it. Blevins said, you got the rosin bag out there, and yes, you had the sunscreen. And that was fair enough, and that all that did was give them a better grip. It didn't spin the ball more. It didn't make the ball move anymore. It wasn't wiffle ball, but they could grip the ball better. And guys took that, you know, to the nth degree and then went with the glue, or basically what this spider tack crap is and the other one that they were using. If guys would have just stopped with that and just did it the way they've been doing it, everything would be fine and no one would be complaining.
But they pushed it.
An inch, take a mile.
Well, I wonder who was the first person who used the glue.
It's a good question. I don't know.
Who?
I mean, I think if you're going to ask me to make a guess,
yeah, take a guess.
I would say go to the Astros
because they're punks.
Well, whatever. I mean, if you look at some of these guys, you look at Verlander, you look at Cole, you look at the spin rates from where they were prior and where they were then. I mean, look at Verlander. He was on the downside of his career, I think most people would say, in Detroit. I mean, he was a great pitcher. but he had a couple of lean years. He goes to Houston. He was like he was 20 years old again. He won a Cy Young, didn't he, with the Astros?
And the Astros, since the Mike Scott days, have been using crap on the ball. That's why you're right. Let's blame the Astros.
So if I had to make a guess, I would say it might have started there, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think that's a good guess, Jerry.
Just an educated guess, that's all.
And Citi Field will be at full capacity starting on Monday.
Yeah, the 21st. I saw. So the Yankees made that announcement for them a few days ago, and now the Mets follow suit. What was the Boomer wanted to know, actually, from last night? Well, he wanted to know if the attendance was any better for a DeGrom game. So the night prior with Taijuan Walker pitching, they had, I think it was, if I remember correctly, they had 17,800 for Taijuan Walker paid attendance. That's all I'm going to say, paid attendance, because I don't want to get into the argument with you over attendance. Last night with DeGrom, and it did look much fuller if you watched it all on TV. Last night the paid attendance was 24,000. So definitely a bump for DeGrom. Not that that's great, but it's a bump.
Yeah, I never get into the battles about attendance. They so everyone's like, well, the school's not out yet. Then it's like, well, school's out, but people are on vacation.
They're worried about storms passing in the air.
Right, it's like it's always a reason.
Last night, though, looked a lot better than the night before.
The reason is it sucks to get there, it sucks to get out of there, and it's expensive to go. That's it. Those are your answers.
I totally agree. Because I actually say to my son all the time, he's 16, he loves going to games. And I've always told them, I would love to have season tickets. I mean, I can't because of, you know, their baseball schedule themselves. But the idea of driving there more than once a month is, no, I'd rather go to Philly. I'd rather drive to Baltimore once a week than go to Citi. I would.
Yes.
I know it's 2.5 hours, but it's probably just 2.5 hours there
on the highway,
back,
right.
And not this, oh, God. You never know how long it's going to take to go to Citi Field.
Correct.
Or Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And then getting out. Ugh.
Nightmare.
Yeah, it is.
Jerry, we got another basketball game tonight between the Nets and the Bucks in Milwaukee.
Did you see any of the Hawks-Sixers game, though?
I was reading all about it this morning, though, Jerry. I did not see it, but I saw that the Hawks were down 26 points in the second half.
They were. How about this?
And
they
beat the
down.
Sixes.
They were down 100-86 in Philly with about 5 or 6 minutes to go in the game. And came back and beat them. And not only beat them, like beat them. And this is, I can't even think of another time this has happened in a game. And I forget now, but in the 80s when you used to watch basketball, can you ever think of a half where only two players on one team made a shot?
I cannot recall that.
Happened last night.
Who made the shots?
Joel Embiid and mm-hmm. Seth Curry were the only two 76ers to have a field goal in the second half. Not the fourth quarter, in the entire second half.
I saw people saying this was maybe one of the worst losses in Sixers history.
It might be. It really might be. I mean, you had Seth Curry had 36 points or something. I think Embiid had 37 or 38 points. And they were up by a lot at home. And just the Hawks shot 16 of 22 in the fourth quarter. They outscored them 40-19 on their home floor.
I follow our new boss, Spike Eskin, on social
big
media.
Big Sixers guy.
Big Sixers guy. That did not go well for him last night.
I would not think so.
And they had to do an emergency podcast, I believe.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
So he did like the Evan Roberts thing.
I think so.
It's like therapy. Maybe Jacob DeGrom should do podcasts after he gets
hurt. Perfect. The Evan Roberts, Jacob DeGrom podcast on Odyssey. Do-do-do.
Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah.
All right, so you got Kyrie. No Kyrie tonight for the Nets.
Right.
But they do say James Harden will be available again for game six.
Seems like it.
Now, this series is 3-2 Nets. So, Jerry, if I'm doing the math correctly, if the Nets win tonight in Milwaukee, they move on.
Correct.
If they lose tonight in Milwaukee, there will be a game seven in Brooklyn.
Correct.
You people don't think I know basketball. Pretty much nailed that one.
Okay.
Where are we at on this game tonight, Jerry? Where are you leaning? If you had to...
I really did. I felt really good about the Nets the other night, so much so that I bet them to win, and they won. Now, I didn't expect them to be down by, 16 or 17 at halftime, but I don't know why. I thought they'd win the other... I have no idea tonight. And I only say that because the Nets have played in Milwaukee now this year four times, twice in the regular season, and the two, games three and four, they're 0-4 there.
Is that right?
They're 0-4 there.
That's
so
not good.
I don't know. I mean, you know, does Milwaukee come out flat because they feel like they really gave away the series the other night? I guess. You know, can Durant do anything like he did the other night? Okay. I would say I'll take the Nets, but I don't feel real strong about it tonight.
Let me give you an over-under.
Okay.
Over-under Kevin Durant 40 points.
No. I'm going to take the under.
All right.
But I'm going to take the over on Joe Harris of 17. And he's had a miserable series.
All right. So you're liking a Joe Harris comeback of sorts.
I think Joe Harris comes out and shoots the ball well tonight.
All right. But KD under 40.
Yeah, because I think he'll still go for his 30-35. You're asking him to go back-to-back 40-point games?
And a belly-to-belly.
That would be really something. If he did and they won.
Oh, Jerry.
And it's like what I said to you yesterday when we were talking about the big win. You know, everything about this team has been, oh, they got the big three. They're just going to waltz to a championship. If he could win this series, putting this team on his back with Harden at 70% or whatever, because he's not 100%, that's clear, and no Kyrie Irving, to me that changes the whole narrative of everything.
I put the team on my back.
And I do love the guy. I love watching him play. I'm not a huge Kyrie Irving fan. I'm not a huge Harden fan. I love watching Durant play.
KD you like.
Yeah, because, you know, listening to that podcast, and I don't care about all the Twitter stuff. I think that stuff's funny.
Me too.
Especially these people that go through similar, not, you know what I'm saying. We have our people that hate us as well. I love it. I think it's great. Engage them. Have fun with it.
I think he's going to put the team on my back.
He might.
Put the team on my back.
I put the team on my back, dude.
Dude.
All right, 25 in front of six.
Jerry, what do you say I give away some Yankee tickets? What caller do you want it to be, Jerry?
Well, we always do seven.
Well, that's Boomer Show. That's Boomer Geo. We got to do different. What's your number when you're...
Six.
Six? Be caller number six at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. Win a pair of tickets to see the Yankees against the Oakland A's, Jerry, the team with the low payroll.
That's this weekend, right?
Yes, yeah, Sunday, June 20th, Yankee Stadium. Tickets will be electronic.
Father's Day.
Oh, yeah.
How about a little Father's Day baseball?
New York Yankees single game tickets for all games through Sunday, July 4th are on sale right now. Don't miss great matchups with the A's, Royals, and Angels. Plus a holiday weekend Subway Series clash with the Mets. For tickets, visit yankees.com/tickets. Listen again next hour for more chances to win here on The Fan.
All right, so one goodie down. Those are the tickets. You got to call and win those. But we still got a big one coming up at 6 o'clock. Their names, Boomer and Geo on The Fan.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Al and Jerry, keto-friendly and GMO-free.
And we've got our mindset on you. How about that? It's 5:42. We are that close to Boomer and Geo on a big... What is today, Thursday?
Today's Thursday, Jerry.
So we're pretty close to the weekend.
And you got hockey Islanders tonight. You got a big Nets pivotal game. I call it pivotal game six, Jerry.
Well, game five is usually the pivotal game.
Okay. You got Mets, you got Yankees. I mean, it's a full one of these full sports
days. And I
hate
the fact that the Mets and Yankees are both tonight. Why do we not get a day game? Like, the Mets are playing four games with the Cubs. You can't get a day. The Cubs got to get out of town.
Let's get a day game going. Let's see if we can get that moved.
Yeah, I don't think we can on short notice.
Jerry, there's a couple stories here that are non-baseball, basketball, or football hockey related, but of interest to me. One, I don't know what this means, but you're a golf person, so maybe you could explain this to me. Rory McIlroy says that green books should be outlawed. What,
I wonder,
Jerry?
Why?
What's a green book?
So usually before a tournament starts, a caddy will walk the course, and then he'll walk the green. And they will make, as far as I understand it, they'll make notations as to how the greens break from different spots on the green. And so they'll know where I think they get the pin placements, too, I believe, in advance for because they're different every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so you have a better idea of where you want to land your ball to have a better shot in, if you will, to how you're going to roll the putt. And so you'll see a lot of guys, I know you don't watch golf, but if you watch golf, you'll have a lot of guys that'll be in the fairway and they'll take their book out and they'll try to figure out in terms of their approach shot, where is the best place to land the ball given the undulation of the green, the speed of the green and all that. That's interesting. I don't know why he would want that out of the game. I mean, I know guys putt really well at this point, but I think they do everything really well. So I feel like that's been going on for years and years and years. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Does every golfer have access to the same green book, or does your caddy own green book?
The way I have understood it, and all the book, now I don't know in 2021, but like I've read books on Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, all these guys, Palmer from the 60s, 50s, the 70s, the 80s. The way I always understood it was the caddy went out there and basically made notes.
Your individual caddy made individual notes for you, and then that's a green book for you.
That's how I've understood it.
So the Rory McIlroy green book would be different than another golfer.
It could be. Now, I've also played, I think, Kiawah Island. I played with my dad and my brother years and years ago, and they gave you a course book, and the book gave you a description of, like, a picture of the hole, where all the issues were, and also the yardage. So, like, you know, if there was fescue 260 yards up to the right, you knew if you were going to hit the ball that far, you better stay left. And then you would flip the page, and there would be an image of the green, and it would have arrows with the way the ball's going to roll. And the So maybe they do that now. I don't know of that. I always thought it was still up to your caddy to walk the course and do it. Either way, yeah, I mean, they get help from it.
Listen, we see even the great Tom Brady has a wristband full of information.
Al, they do it in baseball.
Yeah, they pull stuff out of their back pockets.
The outfielders have, you know, they have information on the hitters. You know, if you've got a dead pull hitter, you know, maybe a lefty comes up and you're playing right field and you're going to shade more towards the line. I don't know, but it's done in every sport, I feel. Not basketball, but most sports it's done in now.
That'd be great in basketball. Like a guy's coming down with a fast break and you see a player just whip out a card out of his shorts to say, how do I defend this guy?
Or it's in his sock. Yeah, that's probably the one. And I guess hockey, too. You're not exactly taking notes out.
Yeah, you can't do that, unfortunately.
So that would be my guess. I saw the headline. I didn't really get a chance to read that story, but I think that's what he's got to mean.
Yeah. It makes sense, Jerry, what you said. You're a golf guy.
Oh, and you have no idea.
And I had no idea, but you're a golf guy.
So it makes sense to you.
I would have guessed that's what that meant.
Yeah, for sure. That's are you going to watch any of the U.S. Open today?
No. I won't have that on. There's too
any
much
over
other,
the weekend?
There's too much other sports going on. You know how I get just...
Well, there's not till tonight. I mean, golf is during the day, and then the other sports are at 7 o'clock tonight. I know you're really busy during the day.
You know I don't have time for that during the day,
it's
Jerry.
It's great background noise, though.
Yes.
It's soothing.
Right. You have your regular windows open on a nice, beautiful day. You've got golf on the TV. It feels like you're at the golf.
Binoculars,
looking at bikinis.
At least you admit it.
And cheekinis. Are you familiar with this soccer player, Jerry? His name is Cristiano Ronaldo.
I've heard the name, sure.
Right. It's a huge soccer name.
Yes.
Huge. So,
is this the Coke story?
Yeah.
You got to explain this one to me because I don't get this.
So he was doing a press conference and for, what is it for? Euro 2020 news conference, which I couldn't figure out because we're in 2021.
I guess it was suspended from last year or postponed
that
because of the
sense.
Pandemic.
So Coca-Cola is a sponsor and thus has two bottles of Coca-Cola up on the podium where they're doing the press conference. But Mr. Ronaldo gets up there, sees the Coca-Colas, and removes them and puts up water instead.
I hope it wasn't Dasani.
I don't think it was
Because that's made by Coca-Cola.
Right. But Coca-Cola is a sponsor. And because he dissed Coca-Cola, he is so influential, Jerry.
This is amazing.
That Coca-Cola lost $4 billion.
How?
Their stock went down.
I mean, come on.
$4 billion because this dude moved two Coke bottles out of
this
the way.
This whole stuff. I mean this. I would like to go out to lunch with Guy Adami. I don't understand the fluctuation of the stock market from little things like this.
Right.
It makes no sense. Like, are you not going to, I mean, I guess some soccer fans might not bike, I guess. But they're in trouble because he took two Coke bottles off the podium.
And told you to drink water instead?
I mean, come on.
We still love Coca-Cola.
Of
you
course.
Could still enjoy a Coca-Cola.
Enjoy
you don't have
a
to
Coke.
Have it nine times a day.
I don't understand.
I
and
enjoy.
Also, like, how about when they, you know, you always talk about this, too. there's a storm coming. Stock market tanks. Why?
I know. Stock market lost 400 points today because there was a dust storm in India. Like, what? Oh, all right. Or I like when the stock market tanks based on one company. It'd be like, a stock yes. market tanked because the company that makes iPhone screens had a slowdown at the factory.
Right. There was a 1% decrease in sales. Come the on. Stock market's heading the wrong way.
Or they're like, the stock market's down today because the jobs report is due out tomorrow. So just thinking about the jobs report.
I don't understand.
The stock market reacts like our fans do to a win and a loss.
You're right. You know what? You're absolutely right. But in this case, though, like that's emotion. And for people, it's an escape from their realities of life. That's fine. You're playing with people's money.
Yeah.
And futures. Like, oh, my God. I have friends that look at their portfolio multiple times a day as opposed to what they'll tell you. Just leave it alone and look right. at it once a year. Like, they will look at it over, and especially now with the access on your phone.
Oh, yeah, it's right there. I was looking at
Are you one of those people?
Yeah.
Oh.
Constantly. I get so annoyed. Like, stock market is down.
Al's upset. His portfolio is under seven
My
figures.
My portfolio is down again.
Man.
It's Do I funny. Have time for another story?
You got today? quick.
A quick one?
You got 40 seconds.
All right, I'll be very quick. There seems to be a bidding war.
I don't understand.
For Robert Griffin III.
Why?
As a broadcaster.
Eddie, explain this to me. Are you going to tune in a game because Robert Griffin III is an analyst?
I am like you. I will never tune in or turn out of any game.
Who cares if Robert Smith is the analyst? You want to watch
I
the game?
I do not care.
Like, you're a Dolphin fan. If the Dolphins are playing the Bills, they could have two guys that have never watched football before do the game. You're going to watch the game.
And as long as the people are speaking English, because I do not speak another language, I can't understand. If the broadcast is in Spanish, I will go to the English. That's it.
That's it.
Otherwise, I don't care.
And they're going to pay this a bidding war
a
for
bidding
what?
A bidding war between Fox and ESPN Robert. But they're not even sure he may still want to try to play again this year. But if he does, it bidding war, Jerry.
You know what? Makes no sense. Like I know there's Robert a lot of bidding Griffin. Wars right now and home sales and things like that.
That's true, Jerry. And as you know, I've been in my condo for just over a year now, and it's already worth more than I paid for it. So if I want to pay Robert Griffin III, I can do that myself. It's worth more in just a year's time. Stop paying rent and build equity with Kearny Bank. They make the entire mortgage process easy. Visit kearnybank.com/mortgages to learn more. Rates are still low, and you don't need to put down 20%. Go with Kearny Bank. That's kearnybank.com/mortgages. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
All right, one final break. We'll get you to Boomer and Geo. A couple of minutes ago, we were talking about the Hawks' huge win in Philadelphia, the big comeback. Well, here is an Odyssey Sports Minute with Amy Lawrence recapping it.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, a couple more minutes and we get you to the top. Mets win, Yankees win, weird NBA stuff. Go, Al.
Warm-up show brought to you by Kearny Bank, your bank for today, for tomorrow. Visit kearnybank.com for details.
Real quick, just because of the whole green thing we talked about, Rory McIlroy, I legit got five different guys telling me they're golf pros or big golf guys. They gave me five different things. One told me I'm wrong, one told me I'm right, and then three of them were kind of in the middle. I have no idea what it means.
And then a couple people just wrote just to say, you suck.
Well, that always happens.
I see that two men, Jerry, were kicked off a United Airlines flight after a brouhaha over the armrest.
Yes. This does not surprise me at all.
Why not give two armrests?
I agree. And then you need the plane to be bigger.
Because we're paying so much for these tickets, you want to make sure you have your own armrest.
We are going away next month, I guess. And I'm so happy that there's six of us going. 3-3. So I don't have to worry about any armrest crap because that stinks when that happens.
You only have to fight your own family for an armrest.
What really bothers me is if my wife's in the aisle and I go in the middle, whatever, and there's a guy in the window seat, he's already got the armrest to his left and the wall, and then the pig takes the armrest to the right. I slide my arm right on there, and it's a battle. So right. I get it.
You could see where there might it might come to fisticuffs.
Yes. Absolutely.
You both paid for the seat. You both think you have.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
Right.
Like, I do believe that. I'm surprised there aren't more fights on planes.
Yeah.
Because people are already you know, at like this, they have anxiety with flying.
Yes.
And then you deal with that nonsense.
Our week-long box office blitz continues today with hourly chances now through 6:30 tonight.